Hello and welcome to another episode of the +63 HP podcast. I'm one of your hosts, John Clemente. Alongside with me are two of my best friends, starting with the man with the pink headset, Chirox. How you doing?
Hello, hello. Welcome back. It's been a while and I'm happy we are back at it, baby.
I am happy we are back as well. Our other co-host waking up or staying up at an ungodly hour is our other buddy, Arnie. How are you doing?
Hello there. Still alive.
That's all we get asked for. And if this is your first time watching us, thank you very much for the view. Again, the +63HP stable of podcasts includes this particular show, which is a review show, where we talk about in-depth a TV series or particular movie. We give our opinions, dive deep into a little bit of the synopsis, a bit of the lore, and provide our ratings so that you can be informed whether you should watch it or not. These shows typically come out on Mondays and Tuesdays. We also have our very, very first D&D campaign where we post on Wednesdays. So a couple of middle-aged guys and a lady play their first ever D&D campaign. We recorded for posterity and share it online for you guys' entertainment. Those episodes typically come out on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, we have our Reacts show, where a curated list of trailers, featurettes, video clips for upcoming content. We watch it together. We put a plus or minus into it, depending on how hyped we are on that particular content that is dropping. On occasion, Chubax and our other best friend, RJ, can't get enough of D&D, so they spun off a second campaign where they are bad guys. Those episodes typically come out on Fridays. So that's just the show almost daily. You'll have new content that you can enjoy with us. So if you are interested in any of those, we'd love for you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell so you know when new content is dropping. Enough of housekeeping in this particular episode. After a couple of weeks break, we all had our holiday vacation, so we are just getting back into groove, and there's no other way to get back into groove other than talking about giant monsters, kaiju. We are discussing Muto. We are discussing the second half of the first season of Monarch Legacy of Monsters. It is out in Apple TV Plus. It is an action adventure science fiction monster genre type of show. You get both Russell's Wyatt and Kurt. You get Ren Watanabe. You get Kiersey Clemons, Anna Sawai, Joe Trippett, Alyssa Lasowski, lots of really cool actors and actresses here. It is produced and developed for television by Chris Black and a longtime graphic novel, Daredevil, Hawkeye writer, Matt Fraction. So the show makes sense. It's been fun. The first season is 10 episodes. Most episodes are anywhere between 41 to 50 minutes long. And again, it was released November 17th. So all episodes are out now on Apple TV Plus. Perfect time for you to get that week-long subscription if you want to binge this entire season by yourself. But before we dive into the last few episodes or the second half of the season, Chubax, give us like a quick overall non-spoilery review of season one so we can either convince or discourage people of watching the first season of Monarch.
Oh, I really enjoyed this one. I loved it. It's not perfect, but good cast, good special effects, pretty good pacing overall. And it's just more of the world of, I know, of Godzilla, the, what are they called, the monster, is it the Monster Universe?
Monsterverse? Yeah, it's Monsterverse.
Yeah. The Hollywood adaptation of the Godzilla. And I actually liked what they did here, the sci-fi stuff. So yeah, we'll get into that later, but I really did like it. How about you?
So again, Everything that might cause us to take pause in watching a series was here. It's a effects heavy show, which is difficult for a TV show, but they were able to pull it off. Like every time, the period pieces look great, the monsters look great. It's not only a time travel show, but it's also a prequel, which is also another pitfall, which they were able to, for me, navigate quite deftly. Like, we don't like the idea when we know who survives, who doesn't survive in a particular show. So, it is kind of like surprising that I was at least happy on how things were handled. You also have the Stranger Things-esque version of it. You have a group of kids trying to do what adults are doing. So you have this giant shadowy government that is, you don't know whether they're good or bad for the most of the show. So a lot of things were stacked against this particular series, but I mean, I was very happy for the series. Like, it was light enough. The story made sense enough. They used enough effects to draw you in, but also very, very judicious in the budget because, again, this is not an unlimited budget show. And all in all, I was like very happy with how things were acted. A couple of weak actors here and there, but for the most part, it was really good. So, how about you, Arnie? What's your like non-spoiler reaction for the entire season of Monarch?
I enjoyed it, and I'm not the most well-versed in the MonsterVerse or Monster Apocalypse or whatever universe that they're trying to build here, but I was really happy with how they handled Godzilla. Definitely way better than the old movie, like in the early 2000s. This one's really stayed true to the material, as far as I know. Even like the surprise teaser for in the last episode, like as well handled. The acting was great. It was genius casting with the Russells,
Father and son.
father and son. I'm sure they both had a good time with that. Loved the main actress, and even Keiko. She's my show crush, basically. But yeah, I mean, it's enough intrigue, enough of, they didn't spoon feed a lot of information. Of course, you still have to suspend some belief, I mean, it's a world where monsters exist, so everything doesn't have to make sense. But yeah, excuse me, it's not a cheap show. Basically, the effects were well made. And yeah, I mean, it's a good quality show. And even if you're just curious about the monster universe, it's a good intro, basically.
Yeah, that's something that coming into it, I had a little bit of knowledge about what universe this Godzilla is in. So this is in the Tom Hiddleston, the Brie Larson universe, which had some success recently in terms of having a little bit of like a period piece type Godzilla, but being able to develop a bigger world around it was, again, pretty fun. I think this is one of those shows where it's best where you have no background on what it is, so you can just like absorb it. And how they explain things along the way is decent, because like I had my own idea on what the underworld is or the other world is, but towards the end it's totally different. I thought we were still doing the Hollow Earth stuff, but apparently it's Hollow Earth but also extra dimension, etc.,
Which I
etc.
think makes more sense.
Yeah, right.
Like seeing what they did in Kong. Well, maybe it's still the same. Where, well, just the I mean the Hollow Earth theory as itself, just you can't make it look like that and be under under the earth, you know. So it makes sense that it's more about portals to another world, I guess.
And, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's closer to what do you call this? It's closer to what's the Guillermo del Toro kaiju series?
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim, right? The rift is more of like a portal, which is kind of good. And you know, I know we'll discuss this a little bit more, but the idea of the kaiju being kind of again very, 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 very Pacific Rim, that they use these muto as to open the rift, and then they can draft in and out of the worlds, is how essentially the season ended. So that was a little bit of like a stolen idea, but it for me it makes sense. But with that, Chubox, want to run us through the synopsis of the last few episodes, and then we can give our opinions, things that we like and things that we did not like about the series.
So I guess we left off where they finally go to Sahara and they see their dad from far away, and Godzilla appears. And then, so in episode 6, Terrifying Miracles, we see that Shaw is now with Duval, and that they have like an offshoot of Monarch, and they're more headstrong, more active, and they're trying to close all the portals, which kind of makes sense, you know, which is actually a good plan. And then while they separate from the kids, Kate, Kentaro, and May, and we find out that May finally reveals that she was double agent on them with Monarch, because she's hiding something. And then in the past, in the 1955, Shaw, Keiko, and Bill are just, you know, fighting with budgets and stuff. And then they also find out about Suzuki, a Japanese scientist, who finds like the signature for the Titan lure. And they were able to lure, it was Godzilla, right? That,
mm-hmm.
that got it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, we're starting to see that Shaw is in love with Keiko, and he disobeys orders and he loses command of Monarch to an arrogant guy. Then we go to episode 7. Will the real May please stand up? So this is the episode of May, and we find out that she's been kidnapped by her former employer, Applied Experimental Technologies, or APEX for short. And we see some of her flashback, which isn't really really connected to the present, but just say that she got recruited by this, and it turned out not what she wanted, and she kind of sabotaged them. And Kate and Tim are trying to save May, so they go find her, and while she's wrestling with her past, then in the end, Monarch comes in to help them and makes a deal with Apex. And this is the one that leads to Mechagodzilla, right? I think that's pretty sure in Godzilla King of the Monsters. Oh, no, Godzilla Kong. Godzilla X Kong. So, and then okay, so that's basically it in episode 7. Episode 8, Birthright. So here we go with Shaw and Duval, and they've closed one hole already, and now they're here in they closed the one in Antarctica, right? Or Alaska or something. Oh, you're on mute, Joe. And so,
Alaska.
Yeah, okay, in Alaska. So now they're going to Kazakh power plant where Keiko was killed in the past. And this is where Shaw tries to explain to Kate when they meet. Well, Kate. So the kids working with Tim and Monarch try to stop Shaw because they don't know what... Because apparently Shaw's closing the portals, but it's like opening up the others or something.
It's opening up. That's the other thing that I was kind of like iffy about. It's like
it wasn't clear like what was happening.
Gonna happen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so once he's alone with Kate, Shaw explains that he intends to help Godzilla maintain order by separating the Hollow Earth from the surface by closing all the portals, which I didn't see the... They didn't explain the negative effects so much. Was it saying that more creatures were going to appear? Or was that what they were trying to...
I mean, I think every time they close one and the other portals become bigger, it's more susceptible for a Muto to come out.
But they didn't really explain that clearly.
Yeah.
So anyways, as Shaw was priming the explosive to close the rift, May, Kate, and Shaw... fall into the hole and are transported. And then in the flashback, it's more just about the three of them trying to wrestle back Monarch from this bad guy or this non-believer. And Bill also finding out that Keiko already has a son named Hiroshi, which was a nice twist because we all thought it was either going to be Bill's kid or Shaw's kid, and it's neither. So that was a nice twist.
Yeah.
That she was already got pregnant long ago before she even met them. And she's been raising the kid alone. And then so that ends episode 8. In episode 9, Monarch so Kentaro and Tim make it out. But they're trying to Verdugo again. This is the only negative part. It's like Tim wants to find a signal from the other world, but Verdugo doesn't want to provide resources to track that or to find that because they're doing something else, which I don't know what they're doing to.
They're protecting the other sites because again the closure of a few of the sites made the rift bigger, so
it wasn't that clear. It just seemed they were being passive, and well, anyway, maybe that makes more sense. So Tim goes to Kentaro, and I do like that Hiroshi just finally comes home, you know. So they meet, and yeah, he gets his bitch. He gets his comeuppance. Like Kentaro's pissed at him, the wife is pissed at him. That's the part that really pisses me off. Like, he was trying to protect them from what was he doing?
Well, he was trying to study the rifts on his own.
And he couldn't pick up a phone, he couldn't have a sat phone.
Well, at that point, he didn't know how Monarch would be, because like he was no longer with Monarch, right? He's doing it independent. So I do understand that he might be putting his family at risk, but you're right. It's just like you need to tell them about where you are and what you're doing.
At least leave a message before you leave. It just was fucked up. So he got what he deserved. So anyways, we also open up in May. Shaw and Kate in this pseudo
Axis Mundi.
What Keiko calls the Axis Mundi is like a not really Hollow Earth. It's more like the in between. Mm-hmm. The in between. So they're there, disoriented and trying to find each other. And then we go back to 1962, finally, where Shaw volunteers to lead Operation Hourglass. It's like an expedition to the Hollow Earth using the portal, and of course it's Monarch researching and adventuring exploring, but for him, we know that it's just because of Keiko. He wants to find her. And it was successful. He gets there, but like one dies immediately, and then the other two are killed afterwards. And he was able to return back to the Earth via another Titan storm, opening the rift and him getting sucked in. But the problem is he comes back out 20 years later, which finally explains his age, which again we kind of hit that on the head a while ago, before. And he wakes up, and I do like the acting of Randa. I like the actor of Hiroshi. He's a good actor. So
Ren Watanabe, there's no Wikipedia on him, but like I'm just going to assume he's related to our buddy Ken.
No, he's Watabe. Ken is Watanabe.
Watabe, okay.
Yeah, I just checked also. No, is Ren Watabe Kentaro or Hiroshi?
Kentaro, okay. Hiroshi.
So yeah, Shaw meets an adult Hiroshi at this point in 1982, and he informs him that Bill's already dead in Skull Island, and then Monarch intends to abandon their mission in favor of leaving the Titans undisturbed, and Shaw is placed under house arrest. This was such a depressing scene where he wasted his prime in that place. But I guess looking at it from his point of view, there wasn't much that he can do at that point.
Also, like, even you yourself, like 20 years passed you by, so there's a lot of things that you might not be able to do yourself anymore.
Interesting, because same thing happened to Captain America, and he played Captain America.
That is true. And so it's back in the Axis Mundi, May finds Shaw. Sorry, and they're looking for Kate. And Kate is attacked by a bramble boar and is rescued by Keiko, who I thought was like Green Arrow or something.
I told you in our first half, I was half joking about them being able to do it like a timey-wimey kind of thing, but you don't shelve, you don't kill off that character too soon. That is such a strong character. Single mother, Asian, female scientist. I knew as soon as we saw Kate there, it's like, she's going to be saved by Keiko.
Yeah, plus no corpse, no confirmation. They're still alive.
Yeah. And the way they did it was really fun. I liked the reveal. And then, so that was the cliffhanger there. And then we go to episode 10, Beyond Logic. And I'm thankful because I didn't like the first part where Keiko finally meets Kate, and Kate is like so flabbergasted that just say it, you know. Good thing that they corrected immediately, because sometimes they would play that out too long. But here, I love the Shaw Keiko reveal, and that they had that time where I love what Shaw did was good. Was like he was hiding first and getting her acclimated, and she still got the shock of her life. Yeah. So that was amazing when they finally met. And imagine being Keiko's actress, you know, first playing with the son, and then now with the dad. It's been fun. And
also, I do like the idea that Lee already knew that there was some time dilation that's been happening, and then Keiko picked it up real quick as well. So we kind of was like, I understand that gravity forces are different here. So for me, 57 days, you were here for what, a few weeks? A week, and then it was 20 years. So, and then right away, it's 2015 up there. It's like, even I was like doing the math, like, how did you do that fast? And then she got it. You were always good with math. I was like, all right, okay.
Asian stereotype.
Very quick ones. So I got it.
But so they reunite, And we get a nice plan where yeah, good acting from Keiko, knowing that she lost decades of time, and Bill died, and Hiroshi's old, and she has a granddaughter. And Kat was kind of watching also. She's like, would she slap him if she knew that he had two wives? You're so
Oh,
like,
but yeah, you know what?
yeah, two
Lucky
wives. Say
they
that, yeah.
didn't talk about that during the
Yeah,
final
like,
scene.
I mean, you know how I like that, like the dynamic where she's now younger than than her son.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still would you still like I would still slap the shit out of my if I found out my son had like, two wives and stuff. So anyways, they planned that the Shaw's left his ship or kind of capsule stuff that they travel he travel used to travel here, and the plan is to use the lure which Keiko had and open the rift so that they could get sucked back in, which was good. And that's happening while at the in the few in the in the present, Hiroshi was kicked out by Emiko and Ken. This was a good scene because really good acting by Hiroshi and the mom here. And I love how at first I thought like the mom was like gonna rekindle it. She was like being the peacekeeper, but the fuck no.
Yeah.
You stay. You keep in touch with your son, but you and me were fucked
Yeah.
or done.
Yeah. Here's the
So.
ring. Just make sure that you tell Hiroshi where you are.
Good acting, and I like that Hiroshi didn't even put up a fight. I mean, how do you explain having, it wasn't even cheating more. It's like, living two lives, it's so two families. It's so fucked up. So, and I like that they didn't justification there or something. Like he just fucked up.
Yeah.
And then, so. They activate the lure, but the problem was there was already a Titan there, so a flying Titan. So that attracted that, but it also attracted the big guy. I don't know. It was just so fun when the way they did it. I was just like screaming, and I was watching with Kat. I was like, "It's a big guy, yeah, baby!" I was like, "I
It's
love
almost
it."
like WWE, like when
Yeah,
they
the
bring out
entrance
either
was so.
Stone Cold or The
I
Rock.
was feeling like that. I just the way they did it
Yeah.
to the lights, and then he comes out and like, fuck yeah. It's a good
Yeah.
fight. And
But it also gives credence to the point that Godzilla is the one that kind of maintains that world, right? You know,
he's like the police, like you fucked.
I so okay, you guys stay there, I stay here, and that's it. That's what happened. So, I still don't know how they're going to justify G-Day in San Francisco and what had happened there. But the more that he becomes like the police in terms of making sure that nobody comes out into Earth, the more that I hope that, you know, those two, because I'm getting a little bit tired about, you know, the audience knowing what's happening, but the government and Earth thinking something different, right? So the quicker that they can get to align on that, the happier that I would be. Because it's gonna be difficult, because like you
But
can't make sympathetic version out of a monster that killed thousands.
yeah, but I mean, the way they did it, I think he's fine. I mean, yeah,
It's a misunderstanding.
it's like if he didn't do anything, then all of them would have been dead.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I this one I predicted like during the escape, Shaw sacrifices himself, and I was like, they can't afford him for another season. They can't
Yeah.
afford
No,
Kendros.
that was my question to the group as well, if
For me,
we
that
think
was I expected
he's
that.
alive. He's alive.
For me,
But
no, I don't think they can afford him for another season.
I think it's series finale already.
You think it's the
Like,
end?
you know, at the end.
I either that or they'll put him as a cameo here and there. Just kind of like with John Goodman. Just one episode.
I think there's gonna be a season two because I think one of the, was I don't know if it was the writers or like the executive producer said that there's more stories to tell, but they haven't gotten the green light. But then some of the sites I saw says that Apple doesn't renew immediately, but they've never canceled the series after one season. So there's gonna be a pretty good shot that it continues.
Plus,
And even like,
without Ted Lasso and other shows, they need
and
something to carry.
even like Severance, which was a big hit, they renewed it like 4 months after the finale. So I think we're gonna get season two, and I hope we get season two. But anyways, let me finish the story. So Keiko, May, and Kate finally arrive back to the present, but it's now 2 years later, 2017, and Apex Cybernetics is studying in Skull Island, has a
Yeah,
research
the
station
Skull
there,
Island
and it was
research
there.
station.
So what happened was probably was Hiroshi, Kentaro, and Tim have been working now with Apex, and they were able to bring the signal or something that was able to call Keiko, Kate, and May back.
Hey.
Yeah, and then we so as the at the end of the episode, the series, or
So
the season.
did Hiroshi figure out where the portal is gonna come out? That's why they built their station there,
They didn't
right?
say. It's either
They didn't
that
say.
or they were able to they were focusing on that thing in front of the big speaker thing. So I think maybe they were able to attract it. I don't know, something like that. And we get a nice goatee King Kong at the end. A nice shot of King Kong. And yeah, that was it. The ending of Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, season one. Hopefully, season.
Hopefully season one. Yeah, so let's go around the table and just give our final thoughts and rating about the season. Arnie, we'll start with you.
I'll give it a 9 out of 10. There's still a lot of loose ends, in terms of the story and how Hiroshi was able to attract the capsule, and of course like the San Francisco G-Day issue, they haven't even explained that yet. But all in all, like especially like, it's a good behind the scenes or backstory of the world building, basically, like what's happening to the humans. That's not actually like they're looking for the mutos, but not actually reacting to it. Because we did, although we did see a lot of monster attacks, but that's not the main focus. The main focus is just who Monarch is, and then the Axis Mundo thing. So that's good. I mean, it basically made me want to watch the Godzilla movies that's tied to this one. So it's good.
Yeah, it's weird because typically it's highly ill-advised to do world building across two mediums because it's very difficult, particularly with Godzilla, where it gets confusing because there's the Matthew Broderick stuff and then you have again Hiddleston, the Brie Larson kind of stuff. So the way that they're kind of trying to, like, even the show, it's centered at 2015, right? So that's kind of like the main timeline of the show is 2015, which is already confusing. And then they have multiple timelines within the show too. So I really think that, the writing of Matt Fraction kind of shown because you figure out how to introduce multiple timelines, clean up all the timelines, introduce multiple government organization through characters that are relatable, that are also varied. Because like there's a lot of flip-flopping here. There's like Monarch is bad and Monarch is good and then Monarch is bad again. And then so the idea of it's being handled within 10 episodes, I think was deftly done. It was very, but in the end, it's entertaining. That's the point. These are still just like giant monsters threatening the world, and you want to be able to have like a defense system around it. So that kind of keeps everything simple. So for me, it's like, I'm gonna give it like this is the highest seven that I could get. Like, it's a very, very high seven. It's not like, a bad seven. It's just more of like it's a lot to handle. Also, like Kentaro, and to a certain extent, Mei wasn't the strongest actors. When you put Wyatt Russell, Keiko, and the young Bill Randa, they were very convincing actors. I did like Verdugo towards the end. Like I do love her kind of like I am strong female, cool, but I still answer to government stuff. So I like her character there as well. But there's just so many elements happening all at the same time, so many timelines that it's very difficult to kind of like just like sit down and open your eyes and enjoy a monster movie because they're trying to handle a lot of stuff. So that's the reason why the seven happens. But I think moving forward in season two, where we have
Ultraman.
a simpler timeline, because like we're at 2017 now, right?
Yeah,
So
they're all together. Yeah.
so I think that makes the storytelling a little bit cleaner, a little bit easier, and then we have a clear explanation of why Keiko from the 50s is there, why the kids is there, why and Hiroshi is there from like the 80s too. So kind of like,
Yeah.
all right, everything makes sense now. So I think
Yeah.
it'll be a little bit easier to absorb the next season. Max?
I give it a really high eight, even close to nine. I really liked it. It really was an event series, and they delivered on how the trailers looked. And like you said, it was hard to juggle all those timelines, and but I think they still did a great job on it, and I loved all the mysteries, and I like the dynamic. I do think there's more chemistry with Kate and May than May and Kentaro, but I don't know how if May is bi, but we know Kate is, so maybe there's a love triangle in the future.
Oof.
I do like
I mean,
I do
I'll
like
allow
that.
it.
I do like that Ken is more becoming more like a like an
Real.
agent thing, you know, like so I think he's good for that role, and maybe part of season two could be like Kate and May like bringing him back to just being a nice guy instead of, you know, towing the agency line, or you know, the group Apex line. But I'm also here checking the MonsterVerse timeline canon, and they're at 2017, right? Godzilla King of the Monsters is 2019, the timeline. And then Godzilla versus Kong, where we get Mechagodzilla, is 2024.
Cool.
So by if the timeline holds, they're in 2017, Apex is gonna be bigger and bigger until 2024, where they get Mechagodzilla. So maybe that's gonna be in play. Because Apex wasn't a big player yet in Godzilla King of the Monsters, from what I remember. So
A little left field prediction. Ultraman will come out.
wouldn't mind that.
It's Kentaro.
But yeah, so that is it. That is Monarch Legacy of Monsters. And yeah, take us home.
Well, thank you very much for watching this particular show. Again, if you haven't seen the season, do your week-long trial for Apple TV Plus. They have a good stack of shows now that you can binge. Like off the top of my head, Foundation is great.
Silo.
Astrobox's Metro, Silo is good too. Also renewed for a second season, but that's probably just three season.
Ted
Ted
Lasso.
Lasso is the classic, but you have
Morning show.
Severance.
Severance, yeah.
Severance is
Hijacked.
kind of is killer as well. So
And
yeah, they
Killers
have
of
a
the Flower Moon, like the movie.
oh the movie is well, not a big fan of Scorsese nor DiCaprio. So, and there's a couple of other more interesting ones. I have one more week of free trial, so I'm gonna give this show about mining an asteroid and invasion to like sci-fi stuff. So yeah, Apple TV Plus has a lot of really, really cool shows, but these aren't like the easy fun shows. So you know, the $9.99 per month additional, now I think you have enough to really last you quite a while.
Just go crazy for a month, like buy it, watch your series, then get out, and then if there's a new one, hold off until it's all out, and then
yeah.
I mean, $10 to watch Monarch, that's a 10 episode series by itself, it's already worth it. But you all have
Ted Lasso is worth it for me too, so it's gonna be great. Stay tuned next week as we discuss
Reacher,
the runaway hit Reacher. My God, how
they better not take this long to make season 3. I don't know why why they're letting him do anything else, because this is their moneymaker, Amazon Prime. And
I'm sure that they'll be able to cast him. This is his role forever now. So, but you know, I just saw him promote the latest Reacher book that came out also last week. Everything is all aligning. Also, he saw a post like Richen put a post about his last day of shooting for Fast and the Furious 10 Part 2. All right, so like he is okay. He's good now. It's he's one of the few people that I follow on social media, just because like this is such a perfect tone series. Reacher is a perfect tone. Doesn't overreach. Not super complicated. Not super violent. Not super deep, but like violent enough, complicated enough, funny enough. And just a bunch of hot people doing hot stuff. So I really love Reacher. And the 5-episode drop of the new Marvel Spotlight Echo season 1 as well. Jonas, so if you have your assignment next week, we have an assignment next week. Yep. Say your goodbyes, Arnie.
All right. Bye. And see you guys next week. I'm going to have to duck out right now.
Shabax?
Yeah, excited for Echo.
And on behalf of everybody, thank you guys for watching and see you guys next week. Bye.